Welcome to the Hillside Podcast. We trust that you'll be impacted by listening to today's message.
Good to see you. I said, good to see you. Yeah. I'm not as dramatic as Stephen, and I don't have the leopard skin shorts to show you. You can get me some, can you? Thank you, Tanya. That's really helpful. We were speaking last week about the power of God. Who was here last week? So just know who I'm recapping for. So most of us were here. Spoke out of Revelation 3. Jesus writes to the church in Philadelphia and says, you have a little power. You have a little power. And I just feel like that's almost God's word to Hillside, saying you have a little power. There's many things that you have touched and seen, but there's a whole lot more. And everything people have spoken about, John spoke about the more this morning. There is a more for us in the heart of God. There is so much more. And it's not denial of what he's done with us, but it's a passionate thirst to see the power of God released through every one of us to change this world in which we live. Said that love without power is pure sentiment. We have to have love. Without love, power is destructive. But love without power is just a nice wish. It's a Hallmark card greeting, you know, and that's all it is. We spoke about Gary's word on passivity, that passivity flows out of disappointment. And there are ways in which we can be disappointed in ourselves, in God, in one another. And for us to push into the more of the power of God for us requires us to process our disappointment, to work through that, to deal with it, to grab a hold of it, to own it, and then to move on. And one of the ways we do get disappointed that I want to speak about this morning is when things start out in the power of God, because only God can do this. But through familiarity and through experience, we cease to depend on his power. And that element of awe and amazement at the power of God at work gradually, imperceptibly transitions into this taking it for granted kind of life. And we feel somehow we have lost touch with this thing, and the amazingness of the promise has become the mundaneness of just what we do. So the first time that Brad ever led worship, where is Brad? Is he here? Has he slipped? There he is. First time Brad ever led worship, his heart was in his mouth, his knees were knocking, and he was as dependent on the power of God as anyone has ever been in the history of the world. Is that right, Brad? Okay. Today, the danger for Brad is not nervousness. The danger for Brad is, well, I did this last week and the week before and 2 weeks before that and forever and ever, and I kind of know how to do this thing. The danger for me preaching is that I kind of know how to do this thing. And this subtle transition takes place from an incredible awareness of need and dependence on the power of God into this kind of mundanity of, well, this is what we do. This is the rhythm of what we do. I want to read a passage from the book of Joshua. So if you have your Bibles, turn to Joshua chapter 1. The beginning of possessing the land. And it says this, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord said to Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' assistant, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, into the land that I'm giving to them, to the people of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you, just as I promised to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites To the great sea, toward the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you or forsake you. Be strong and courageous, for you shall cause this people to inherit the land that I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous. Book of Joshua is really stirring stuff. If you find timidity creeping into your hearts, it's a great book to read and be stirred up. It's full of battles and victories and amazing miracles of God and his deliverances. And it really, really is stirring stuff. When we first started leading Hillside, I preached a whole series out of Joshua, and it was enormous fun. But there are a couple of things we've got to be absolutely clear about when we read the book of Joshua, when we embrace it as a new covenant people. And the first is simply this, that people are not the enemy. And it's very easy to read the book of Joshua and all these battles over different peoples, and somehow we have to get it into our brains that people are not the enemy. The Muslims are not the enemy. Okay. Julius Malema is not the enemy. All right. Donald Trump is not the enemy. Hillary Clinton is not the enemy. Jacob Zuma is not the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers in heavenly places. So when we read through the book of Joshua, we have to be really, really careful that we don't see it in natural terms what we need to read spiritually. And the second thing is this, that it is very, very enticing to preach out of the book of Joshua about gaining our inheritance. And the other thing we've got to be absolutely clear about as New Covenant believers is that Jesus has already won our inheritance. It's already ours. It's all ours. It is secured for us in heavenly places. The New Testament is absolutely unambiguous about that. There is nowhere in the New Testament will you find the word inheritance as something that we are encouraged to fight for. But it's always something that is kept for us, something that has been won for us through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when we read this introduction to Joshua, the exhortation to Joshua to be courageous, to be strong, only be strong and very courageous, and they're going to go into the land, what does it have to do with us? Why do we need to be strong and courageous? Why do we even need to go into this land? What does it have to do with us? And there's a couple of reasons for us to be strong and courageous. The first is to gain an inheritance for the rest of the world. We need to put ourselves out into that place for the sake of those who, for whom Jesus died, who are as yet disconnected from their inheritance. And we need to enter warfare to gain an inheritance for them. Ours is already secure. Do you remember the book of Joshua? There's two tribes who'd already got their inheritance, Reuben and Gad, on the other side of the River Jordan. Do you remember that story? But they came to help the other 10 tribes to win their inheritance. And that, in a sense, is a little bit of a picture of us. Our inheritance is already there. It's secured. There's nothing more to be done. But nevertheless, we enter into this place of warfare for the sake of our natural brothers and sisters who do not yet have their inheritance. Does that make sense? So that's reason number one. We need to be strong and very courageous. There is a world out there in desperate darkness that does not know the salvation in its midst, and we need to speak to people who walk in darkness and say, "Behold, your light has come." And the second reason we need to be strong and very courageous is simply to be like our dad, because he is strong and very courageous. And I want to be like him. His heart is one of putting himself out. God so loved that he gave. There was a courage in the giving. There was a vulnerability in the giving. And he invites us to enter into his courage and his vulnerability and says, will you embrace my heart? Will you put yourself out with me for the sake of a lost humanity that is out there? So that's why we need to be strong and courageous. As I said, it's very easy for us to end up depending on our own strength. An adult is someone who has learnt what they can't do. That's really profound, isn't that? An adult is someone who has learnt what they can't do. Okay, I can't remember if I said it, whether it was here last week or whatever, but our granddaughter decided she wanted a jetpack for Christmas. And she's a child, and that's how a child thinks. And as an adult, you scoff a little bit and say, how sweet. But we know we can't do that. And something of the kingdom of God is available for people who don't know what they can't do. And I want to invite us today to embrace the childlike mind which no longer knows what it can't do. Do you like that, John? Is that good? Good. Good for you. Here's an amazing man over there. John, you're doing huge stuff for that healing event. You really are. Do we engage in stuff that we can't do? You know, we've done our strength finders. Have you done strength finders and our spiritual gift questionnaires? And that has enabled us to write off vast stuff that we don't even have to engage with anymore because it's not who we are. And we've managed to pare life down to this little box. So that's me. And that's where I live. And today I want to invite you out of that box. I want to invite you into things that you can't do. Because that's where the power of God lies. In the things that you can't do. Do you avoid situations that you can't handle? Or you failed at in the past? I found myself Friday morning in a meeting with a black pastor from down Pinetown Way. And I don't know how I ended up in this meeting. It was one of those things I agreed to do and then regretted ever after. I thought, what am I doing here? And I go to meet this guy, and he's a good-hearted guy. And he's got ridiculously huge vision. But he's kind of a bit caught up in this thing of his ministry and how he must grow it. And it's really not big at the moment, so he needs to grow something. But that means that he's got to get airtime on highway radio, and he's got to get a big banner, and of course all this costs money. And I'm sitting there having a drink with this guy Friday morning thinking, I don't want to be in this conversation. How do I get out of this conversation? I don't do this well. You know, I don't know how to tell him I don't see things the way he does. I don't know how to tell him I'm not excited about the prospect of growing another little ministry to compete with 1,000 other little ministries. And I don't know what to do. And I'm definitely outside of my comfort zone. But God arrives. And we start talking about the fact that Jesus didn't have banners or a radio station. And we start talking about the power of God. And this guy just melts. And it's like he goes from being this driven person who's got to compete with everyone else who does it this way into someone whose heart is just warmed and melted by the prospect of the power of God. And God met with us. It was an amazing time. And I don't know where this relationship goes to, if it goes anywhere at all. But it was definitely something that I would have avoided if I could. You know, if you're one of those people who have trouble saying no, anybody here not done Danny Silk yet, you struggle to say no. Okay, be encouraged, because God can use that to get you into situations that you wouldn't otherwise go into. Serious. So I'm proud of you. So all you super boundaried people, you're missing out on the power of God. Honestly. There we go. Yeah. Is our ear attuned to hear the Spirit leading us out of the comfort zone? You know, we filter the voice of God. We hear God saying to us only the kind of things that we're prepared for Him to say to us. So we hear Him speak to us about our immediate pressing concerns. We hear Him speak to us about opportunities that we can already see. We hear Him speak to us about the kind of things that we might be comfortable doing. But there's a whole lot of life that doesn't fit into any one of those categories. There's a whole lot of stuff out there that God is wanting to engage with us over, and our ears are deaf to Him because we filtered it out. And we end up with a stunted, emasculated relationship that's just about safe things, because that's what we have made Him to be to us. He has not much left to say to us. And we kind of use the excuse of stress. I'm so stressed out anyway. You know, I can't even begin to think of coping with any more challenges in my life. Have you seen my family? Have you seen my business? Have you seen this? How can you talk to me about stepping out of, I don't have a comfort zone. Nothing in life is comfortable. So how can I step out of my comfort zone? And the reality is that the answer to stress is simply dependence on God. It's the restoration of a relationship of dependence on Him. And depending on Him will probably look like stepping out of your comfort zone, even though you think you don't have one. That's probably what it'll look like. The power of God is always manifest outside of our comfort zone. Did you know that? Walking on water happens when? Where does walking on water happen? In the middle of a dark night, in the water, in the middle of the lake. That's where walking on water happens. That is probably not anybody's comfort zone. That's not a comfortable place to be. Where does feeding the 5,000 happen? When you're confronted with a restless mob of 5,000 people in whom you have aroused probably unrealistic expectations, standing in front of you, looking at you, saying, "So what are you going to do now?" That's when feeding the 5,000 happens. Is that a comfort zone place? Probably not. Stilling the storm happens in the storm. Storm, by definition, is not comfort zone place. Healing the leper. So here's this guy. He has weeping sores all over his body. He's got missing fingers, probably dribbling out of one side of his mouth, and he comes to you. Zombie encounter. Is that your comfort zone? Would you mind if I put my latex gloves on first, you know, before I lay hands on you? Having God break you out of jail happens when? When you're in jail. That is the power of God you cannot possibly experience unless you've allowed Him to get you into jail in the first place. The wind of the Spirit blows where He wills. We sang about surrender. That was a beautiful song. I'm so happy we sang that this morning. You know, we can understand surrender as this kind of out-of-body experience of floating in a sort of some other region of the spiritual realm, all the rest of it. Surrender is actually a place of incredible courage. as a man who fell off the edge of a cliff. And about a meter down, he passed a ledge which he managed to grab onto. So he's hanging there by his tips of his fingers on this ledge. And he's stuck. And he shouts out, "Is there anybody there? Help, 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 is there anybody there?" And a voice from heaven comes and says, "Yes, my son, I see you. I have you. You can trust me and let go." And he looks down at the waves crashing on the rocks hundreds of feet below. And he says, "Is there anybody else there?" Because surrender takes incredible courage. And we can sing these songs of surrender, but actually, do we mean it? Because surrender usually looks like stepping outside of our comfort zone, because that's where God is going. That's the direction he's headed in. Is this all right? It is scary, isn't it? Canaan was not a comfort zone. It's perverse and bizarre, but the desert had become a comfort zone to the people. It was familiar. They knew it. They knew the routines of the desert. They knew about manna every morning. They knew about their shoes were never going to wear out. And it was they got this taped. They could live in the rhythm of the thing. They understood it. But suddenly they were having to go into this land of Canaan that was full of hostile people. It was full of Hivites and Hittites and Jebusites and Girgashites and Amorites and all the otherites and the building sites and the whatever else was there. So it was not comfort zone that was facing them. It was a strange place. For some of us have stepped out of our comfort zone in the past and then we step back in again, because that never quite worked for us. Street evangelism has never been my comfort zone. My first go at it was, goodness me, more years ago than I care to remember, in a little market town in Yorkshire, and they gave me a microphone to give my testimony over. I didn't know that this microphone was connected to a PA system that was yanked up higher than any in the history of the world has ever happened. And as I think I was about 18 or something at the time, as I was nervously giving my testimony, my voice was echoing off the hills around this village. It was the most excruciating moment. And I need to say that has never, ever been my comfort zone and is not likely to be. But that doesn't mean that I shouldn't step back into it. It doesn't mean that I must stay away from that. It probably means that I should step into it. Schools ministry has never really been my comfort zone. I remember doing an assembly at Thomas More years ago when I was still in industry, and dear Father Boardman, anybody remember Father Boardman? One or two, introduced me as an expert in the transportation of hazardous criminals. And these kids looked at me like this. It was Con Air played out in front of them. It was this most, I should have exploited it. But my problem was I was too honest and I had to correct him and say it was actually not hazardous criminals, but hazardous chemicals. And I kind of lost everyone at that point, you know. And it was never quite the same again. It's not my comfort zone, you know. Doesn't mean that I shouldn't go there. Township ministry. I love what you're doing down there. It's amazing. I'm not comfortable. Yeah. All these little kids looking at me like this, with this blank incomprehension. I don't know what to do with that. But I love that you do. Lindy, you're amazing. But it doesn't mean I mustn't ever go there. And maybe God is calling me to step into some of these spaces. I kind of felt for this year, God is maybe going to place me in situations where I get to speak to influential people, which has also not been my comfort zone. I get totally tongue-tied. I once met Trevor Manuel on an aeroplane, and I was like, we shook hands, and that was the end of the conversation. I mean, I can be eloquent as anything here on a Sunday morning, but put me in that space, and I don't know what to say. But I'm sensing maybe God wants me to revisit that space this year. Maybe there'll be opportunity, I don't know. The world is not won by people who stay in their comfort zone. He is the king who rides forth on the white horse with King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his thigh and on his robes. And there's a militancy, there's a venturing forth that he carries, that he invites us. There's this amazing song, Come Ride With Me. And today his invitation is to come ride with him. So we are going to fast this week. That is definitely a step out of the comfort zone. If fasting is your comfort zone, then you need help. No, seriously, you do. Well, you need Connection Center to deal with that one. So we're going to fast. We're going to fast Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Thursday is the difficult one. Wednesday is all new and you're kind of keen for this thing. Friday is okay because the end is in sight. Thursday is the hard day. But we're going to do this as God's people together. I'm going to fast on water. If that is too big a step for you, please don't fast on no water and nothing. That's really not a clever idea. You need to drink plenty of water at least. If that's too big a step, then work out what is a step that you can have faith for. But it is going to be outside your comfort zone, I promise you that. I also suggested last week in the notices that we make it a media fast, because it's not only food that is a distraction to us, but media of all kinds just fills our brains and buzzes around and is really unhelpful. So by whatever means, if we can pretend our internet is broken and our TV is broken, that would be really great. If you've got businesses, well, you must make a plan, but if we can do that for 3 days, that would be awesome too. So we're not fasting to gain an inheritance for ourselves. We're fasting to position ourselves to be strong, to be courageous, in order to gain an inheritance for other people. We are stepping outside of the comfort zone in order to be able to hear the voice of God speaking about things which might lie outside of our comfort zone. It's about a fresh surrender to Him. It's about saying, I don't want to dictate the terms anymore. I want to be available for your terms. It's about an expectation of hearing His voice in new ways, about feeling a new wind of the Spirit in our midst. If you need some medical advice, please get that, particularly if you're pregnant or if you're diabetic. Please speak to someone who can advise you on how to do this well, or if you know you've got some other condition which might be an issue, then either get healed or get some medical advice and do this wisely. Please, please, lots and lots of water at the very least. Plenty of fluids going through you. If you're like me, you'll need to get out of bed slowly, because by about day three, my brain is like this. And if I get out of bed too fast, I go straight back down again. So just be careful. Scale back the physical activity. You'll probably not be able to do as much. That's going to be really tough, isn't it? Depends how many spare calories you're carrying, I suppose, but whatever. Yeah. Brush your teeth a whole lot, as your breath will smell. It will. And then we're going to meet together in the evening. That is a key part. This is not an optional extra for the keen people. We're going to meet here from 6 till 7 on the 3 evenings, And we're going to hear God together. Fast is a great thing to do together. And we encourage one another. I want to put a daily Facebook post out, if I can revive that, just to encourage us and whatever. But we're going to meet together. I really want to encourage prophetic voices, stir it up in this time, hear what God is saying, help lead us through those times together into the bigger voice of God for us. If for whatever reason you're not able to make that 6 to 7 slot in the evening, and please bring your kids, sit them on a blanket around the outside, whatever, we'll handle that disturbance. But please, as many of us as possible, let's make those 3 evenings. If you physically cannot make one of those evenings for some reason, can I encourage you to find someone else during the day or at another time that you can meet with just to pray with them? Because this thing of connecting is really, really important in this time. So it's not just about enduring. And it can become that. So, okay, let me endure for 3 days and then I can get on with my life. But the meeting together releases life for all of us. And Daniel wanted to come and add some wisdom and encouragement just at this point.
Thanks, Richard. I just wanted to share one quick tip that I've been taught on fasting. And just to preface that, I actually love fasting.
I'll pray for you.
I don't love not eating, but just the closeness with the Lord that I experience in fasting is just something that I don't think I ever experience outside of that. And the thing that I wanted to share is that as we're fasting and abstaining from social media or whatever it is, I think that it's so important that we also, on the other side, fill ourselves with the Word of God and and intentionally spend time with Him. Because I think it's important that it's not just, like Richard said, like abstaining from things or just enduring, but when we're removing maybe Facebook for 3 days, that maybe we spend some time in the Bible app, or that it's not just, I'm just going to like not eat for 3 days, because I don't think that's always super helpful. But what I've seen when I fast and when I intentionally spend time with the Lord, like the closeness, like I said, and just so supercharged in His presence, and just the moments that I have with Him, when I intentionally go after, like, just reading the Word and praying and worshiping and not just sitting there, not eating and not being on Facebook, but actually spending time with Him and taking that time, if I'm not eating lunch, like, to read the Word or spend time with Him, is just amazing how immediately, for me it is often, like, how I just feel His presence and go into that time with Him. So I'd just like to encourage you to, if you're abstaining from something, maybe to consider reading the Word or just spending time with Him.
Awesome. Thank you, Daniel. That's great. Thanks for that encouragement. So can we stand? And I will pray for us. Only be strong and very courageous. Lord Jesus, in the face of your great victory, in the face of your authority, in the face of your kingdom, we surrender ourselves afresh to you. We surrender ourselves to your purposes. We surrender ourselves to the destiny that you've chosen. And we hail you as our King, we hail you as our Captain. And we say afresh, we are ready to follow you. We're ready to be led by you. We're ready to be taken by you where you will go. We give you permission afresh in our lives today. We give you permission to stretch us. We give you permission to take us beyond ourselves. And Lord, our expectation is that we will see indeed greater works than these. Our expectation is that we will see your power manifest in our midst in a way that is mind-blowing. And our expectation is this, that we will be part of a movement of your people to see a lost world brought into the knowledge of your salvation, of your glory, of your kingdom. We present ourselves in a kind of a solemn moment before you this morning. And we, in trepidation, say, would you lead us gently along this path for the sake of your kingdom?
Thanks for listening. We'd love to hear your story if you've been encouraged by this episode. You can connect with us on Facebook or leave a review on our podcast.